This podcast may contain content that is not suitable for listeners under the age of 18. If you are 17 or younger and wish to educate yourself about sex and relationships, you should visit scarleteen.com. That's scarleteen with one T.
Hey, I'm Alicia, your non-monogamous relationship coach. Welcome to the podcast where my friends and I chat about our relationships, enthusiastic non-monogamy, polyamory, swinging, kink, and our lives. You'll get a candid peek into what makes it worth it to live life outside the box. And in case you're still wondering, nope, we're not monogamous. What the heck is human design? Could it possibly have to do with my relationships? This is what I'm asking Amber Keys today. We're talking about human design. She's a business success mentor who began her human design journey in 2014. And she's super passionate about this system as a tool for all things business, relationship, parenting, life. And she weaves her expertise in with strategy and emotional regulation tools and mindset and human design. And I've worked with Amber for about 6 months, and the information that I got was so validating for my relationships, for my business, for my parenting. It was just like kind of mind-blowing, actually, to have someone speak out loud all of these pieces of me that I kind of knew were there, but I hadn't put into words. You're going to love this conversation, I think, if you have any curiosity about human design and what it might have to do with your relationships. A big piece of this is self-acceptance and validation. And we all know that that is the key to moving through relationships, especially non-monogamous relationships, in a way that keeps us feeling loved and safe and connected. It's so good. Also, if you haven't checked out our Patreon, patreon.com/notmonogamous, and check out what I've got going on over there, you can get a Nope, We're Not Monogamous mug, as well as ad-free episodes and monthly Q&A calls with me and some special behind-the-scenes bonus content that you won't hear where you're listening now. So go check it out. And enjoy.
Hi, Amber.
Hello.
As though we haven't just been chatting for 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm super excited to talk to you because, you know, you and I have talked a lot about human design. Amber was my human design coach, in case you don't know that. And I'm really excited to have you talk about what human design is. I find it super, super fascinating and also really hard. Like anytime I'm talking about it, I cannot explain to people what it is. I'm like, I don't know. It's this thing. And there's people that know about it and you can go ask them because like, I genuinely don't know how to explain it. So that's the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is explain it. But I'm also excited to have people get a feel for it because I find it to be so validating and so impactful and really helps me navigate my life and my relationships and my parenting, my kids and all of these things. And so I think other people might enjoy that too. So why don't we start there? Why don't I have you explain what human design is?
Yeah. Well, and I'll just say you're like the perfect client for me because I prefer that people learn human design from me because I think it is so complex that most folks who embark on trying to learn it, you wind up turned upside down, backwards, all around, and you don't really get the value that you need from it. So I just want to say that that's an ideal situation. I think so many folks feel shame, like, oh, I can't figure this out, or I don't get it, or I don't understand it. But to that, I would say that's good, right? That's why people like me exist on this planet, to help you squeeze the juice out of it, right? And leave what doesn't matter aside. So if I were to describe human design, it is a complex system. I don't we can talk about the parts, but I often refer to it as like the Waze for life or the Google Maps for life, right? If you have Waze, right, you know how to, you put in your destination, right? And you can determine, I want to avoid construction, or it'll find the quickest, shortest path for you, right? From point A to point B. And I think that learning to live according to your human design really does, it takes out the construction and the police officers and the traffic parts of life and makes it easier to move through and to get to where you want to be. So that's usually how I describe it to someone who's never heard of human design. I've heard it explained to people as like astrology on steroids. You know, if you are someone who is a, you know, a spiritual seeker, you might be familiar. It's a composition of several different pathways to divinity is what I call it, or ancient spiritualities. So you have the original ways that we know that humans attempted to explain life on Earth. So we have the Chinese I Ching, which is also known as the 64 ways. You have the Kabbalic Tree of Life, which is an older form of Judaism. You have the Hindu Brahmin chakra system. You have Eastern and Western astrology. And then like the kicker on it for me is like, if you're not into New Age kind of stuff, then it also, when you look at the system compiled together, the parallels in the last, say, 100 years in science, the parallels with the human genetic code, the parallels with astrophysics, with this idea of neutrinos, right? So human design is really, it's a map and it's a snapshot of who you are, who you were born to be, whether you care about any of the ways that it comes together, I think isn't as important, but I myself have studied the various systems that go into it. But the kicker for me, when I first was introduced to human design, I was like, oh, it's like astrology. No, thanks. Like, I'm not into astrology. That's people trying to be like, I'm a Capricorn, so I'm stubborn, right? Use their shit as like excuses for their bad behaviors. But it was interesting because then learning like, oh, there's a science piece of it too. I was like, that is really fucking, what a coincidence. Now I'm in. Like,
yeah.
So,
yeah. Anytime I've tried to describe it, I'm like, I don't know. It sounds really woo woo, but anytime somebody like explains to me something in my chart, like we're like, you've explained things to me. And I'm like, holy shit, that's exactly how I am. Like, and it's okay to be that way.
Yes. It's so life affirming. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, right. It's sometimes people are like, well, I didn't learn anything new about myself. And I'm like, I think that's probably a good sign. Like we'd be in trouble if I was like, here's your chart. And you were like, none of that resonates, right? We'd have a lot of work on our hands. So yeah, I think it's this really phenomenal because we all have these parts and pieces of ourselves that, you know, on the positive side of things, we suspect that maybe we're good at this thing or we're skilled at this thing. But we're conditioned, right, not to really own our magic. So we're like, I kind of think, but I don't know that that's my magic. And then on the opposite end, right, we have these things that we feel shame about that are equally a part of who we truly are, right? That are, we have our own set of not self behaviors, as we call them in human design. We have our own self-sabotaging behaviors. And so it's really just amazing because I think it affirms the good, but also helps you to release some of what you call the bad. It helps you to let go of the shame and the guilt that you carry around who you are.
Yeah.
So that you can be even more of all of your greatness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay. So how would someone utilize human design to, well, what, how does human design impact relationships, like romantic relationships, friendships, whatever, but How does it, where does it play a role there?
Yeah. Okay. So every person has a human design chart, right? And there's different aspects of the chart that we can look at. So when we look at the chart, what we're really looking at is how do you move through the world, right? How does your energy work? Where are you likely to spin out in relationships that might be like relationship trauma? It could be feeling like you don't belong. It could be feeling like you're unworthy or undeserving. It could be people pleasing, right? So when we add this lens of relationship to human design, in general, you know, human design is a map back home to yourself. It's the key to living your best life. Ra Uruhu, who is the founder of human design, one of his quotes that I keep like in my room on my desk is that if you truly love someone and you can let them be who you are, or let them be who they are, and you can let them be who they are, like that is love, and anything else is torture, right? And so,
yeah, it's acceptance.
Yeah. Radical self-acceptance, right? This is me. This is how I work. And this isn't justifying bullshit behaviors. Again, I'm not an advocate for just like being an asshole and being like, that's just who I am. Right. But when it comes to your real vulnerable needs, when it comes to the way that you love or the way that you need to be shown that you are loved, we can find all of that in human design. We can find those patterns that can really be harmful to relationships in your human design. And so as a tool, I think people often think when, and I don't know if this is your experience, because I know you work with couples, but I think so often we want to fix the other person, right? Uh-huh. We want to come in and be like, make this other person be nicer to me, or just make them like do what I need them to do. Human design isn't a tool where we come, like if you come to me for relationship stuff, we might look at your partner, but we are going to look at you, right? We're going to look at your patterns and we're going to question like, does that serve you? Is it helping you? And how can you navigate a tricky situation in integrity with yourself? And we can look at, and I have worked with couples before too, but I think more than anything, and that applies to parenting, that applies to your work relationships, like how you show up in the world and whether or not you're able to be in integrity with yourself. That's everything.
Yeah. I agree with that so much because, I mean, one, that's just, I think we're meant to find ourselves in life and accept ourselves and you know, everything works out better when you're in like living authentically, living what feels right for you. But what you're saying there makes so much sense to me because, you know, being a non-monogamous person with multiple relationships, everything can't be couple-centric and it can't be, well, if all of my partners changed, then my life would be better. Like that doesn't make sense. So having like full acceptance of yourself and showing up as your authentic self just means that you will attract people who like who you really are rather than contorting yourself to fit into what you think other people might want. And then none of it works when you do that.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I think it's so interesting to me. I think about this a lot with even business, right? People are like, how do I convince people to buy my thing? How do I convince someone that they want to marry me? Well, maybe you don't. Maybe that's not, you know, like in our minds, we can get so attached and it's that contorting of ourselves. If you enter into a relationship and you're like, this person needs me to like sports, so I love sports now and we're going to the stadium or we're doing whatever, right? If we're entering into relationships and we're sacrificing ourselves out of the gate or we're ignoring ourselves out of the gate, from where I sit, it's going to be really, really hard to find true satisfaction, joy, love, or happiness in that space. Because again, I think love comes back to, can I be myself? Mm-hmm. Can I bring my mess? Can I not want to go to sports things? And can it not be a fight? You know?
Yeah.
can you go visit your mother-in-law, or can you go do your other, can I let you be who you are? And can you respect that I don't want to be your end all be all?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I mean, I think that that's probably, that is one of the very top things that I work with people on, is like self-acceptance. They do. And I, and you nailed the head. Hit, Jesus, how do you say that? You hit the nail on the head. But I often, people will come to me and I'll ask, you know, like, what is it that you want? What would be your ideal situation for your relationships? And they will answer, well, I want my partner to do this, this, and that. And I want them to show up like this. And I want, everything would be great if they would do this or be this way. And I'm like, okay, well, you can't make that happen. You can only control your part of the equation, and any changes you make are going to impact the relationship. But one, you have to take ownership of your part. And two, yeah, you have to, like, if you really love this person, you just have to accept them as they are. And if who they are is not acceptable for you, then that's a mismatch. Yeah. It's not a compatible relationship.
Leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to leave. You get to say no. You get to honor. You know, I think there's so much conditioning too in relationships around, you know, always trying to make it work. And this is probably more of the heteronormative, right? Like, we have to work it out. We have to figure it out. You know,
there's some, so you get a golden award at the end.
Right. Yeah. There's no awards for that, right? There's nobody that's going to be standing there like, oh, you survived 30 years in a shitty marriage. Congratulations. Right. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you.
Like, and we don't talk, I think, you know, as a society, we have a lot of work to do around what true love and true relationships look like, because, and I know that we share this very much in common, that when you love someone, you let them be who they are, right? And all of their parts, and you're not asking them to change, right? You're not asking them to be someone that they're not. And, right, you respect when they have boundaries or things that they need. It doesn't mean we never do anything for anyone or we never make sacrifices, but it means that we're safe enough in our relationship to be exactly who we are, and that that person feels safe enough that they can be who they are. And outside of, like, there's no rules on who they are, right? They get to choose who they are. And we don't have to mold or change or shift any aspect, but we do get to decide, this is no longer an integrity for me, or this is super aligned. I'll take more of this, please. Three more of this, right?
Can I please have a dozen? Yes. Okay, so I'm curious, with astrology, people always want to know who their match is. What sign is their match? Is there an equivalent in human design?
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Alicia here. You know, the voice you've been tuning into episode after episode. Today, I'm popping in with an invitation that's really close to my heart. Behind the scenes, I've been crafting something special just for you, my dedicated listeners. If there's a voice inside you that's seeking guidance on navigating the realms of relationships and non-monogamy, wanting to, like, boost your confidence and find that unwavering sense of security, or you're struggling to manage the tricky waters of jealousy, I'm here to offer my support. I've cleared my schedule to open up 50 slots this month for free one-on-one clarity chats directly with me. So this is your opportunity to dive deep into those pressing questions and come out on the other side with newfound clarity and direction. The availability on this is super limited, and these spots are going to fill up really fast. So don't miss your chance to connect with me. Head over to my website, aliciapayne.com, right now. Go secure your spot, because together we can uncover a path to a more joyful, fulfilling, and easy non-monogamous journey. Talk to you soon.
Well, people will try to, like, you could find evidence for it if you Googled it or, like, went on Instagram, like, where people will be like, oh, you can only be, you know, there's five different types in human design. And so they can look at, like, the type compatibility, right? My thing, and what I believe is authentic to human design, again, is any two people can come together and have a successful relationship. I think the question is, and this is a big, big thing that I work with my clients on, is that deconditioning piece. Mm-hmm. Who told you it had to look like that, or you had to feel that way, or it had to be, you know, packaged in such a way that you could receive it? Really beginning to break down and question. If you have two people, regardless of how they come together, who are committed to, again, what we call deconditioning in human design, I think it's just authentic relating, right? I think it's just committed to doing their own personal work and being accountable and holding themselves in integrity and holding their partner with love and respect and dignity. That to me is way more important. Now, you can look at human design charts and see the connection charts, which is cool, right? Because we've done some of that where we can look and see what the relationship might look like. We can do relationship charts where we can see maybe who's more dominant in the relationship, or we can see why you're attracted to that person, right? Because you have openness in this area and that person, you know, fills the gap. It's like a puzzle, right? And so you can really see when you look at it, what attracts people to one another, but really it's all about conscious relationship building. Are you both in integrity with yourselves? And so then it doesn't matter. Are they a reflector? Are they a manifester? Are they a projector? Right? Sometimes I see people, and this is pretty common, some types, I'm in lots of different type groups. So it might be human design manifestors or projectors. They have beef with some of the other types.
And like, they'll never date an Aquarius.
Right. Exactly. Like, I'm not going to be with a projector because they're bossy, or they're this, or they're that, or they're bitter. And it's like, okay, but I know from this post that you're coming from that not self place, right? Where you're looking for reasons to discount someone. You're not looking for ways to accept them as they are, which to me is antithetical to human design, right? But you see that people are like, oh, generators are so annoying, or I could never be with this type, right? And it's like, truly, you know, I personally, my partner is a projector. I am a generator. My son is a manifester. My stepdaughter is a manifesting generator. One of my close friends and my human design mentors was a reflector. So it really takes, we can be attracted to different things and we can love anyone, right? I think it's just a matter of, are we doing that work where we're allowing ourselves to be who we are and then allowing that person to be who they are? Can we love them for our differences?
I actually, that's fun because I, working with you actually helped me have more acceptance of like the differences between my husband and I, right? Because I'm a generator and I don't know if that's why I'm constantly going, but it makes sense to me, but I'm always going, I'm always doing things until I'm done and then I crash. And my husband is more methodical and takes his time with things and really sinks into them, which sometimes when I want to get a million things done can be really fucking annoying. And, and I'm like, come on, let's go, let's go. Right. Yeah. But it's also something that I really appreciate about him because it slows me down and like I can stop and like pay attention to what's happening. And I enjoy how much care he puts into things. And so like kind of having that perspective, seeing our charts and going, okay, so this isn't a thing where like one way is better than the other. This is just how we both are. It made it so much easier to just go, okay, this is a thing I can appreciate. And it's not a thing I can't go like, you just need to be faster or do more things because that doesn't make sense because that's not authentically who he is. So I'm able to like slow down and go, okay, well, here's the things that I'm just willing to do because I want them done. And here's the things that he enjoys that I can like let him enjoy.
Yeah. And you're making that empowered choice at that point, right? Where you're like, okay, I can let him be how he is. And I'm a grown woman. And if I want something done on a particular timeline, like I can be self-responsible in that way instead of pushing and putting pressure, right? Which would push anyone, to be clear, like push them back inside of themselves. I love what you shared, because I remember also looking at, I think you were had gone on vacation and looking to see, right, just the way that you're built. Some of us are built to be really active in our environment and to be out there doing the things. And some of us want to sit down and do nothing, right? Yeah. And some of us, when we go on vacation, like we want to rest and relax. We don't want to come home and need a vacation from the vacation, yes. Right?
Yeah.
You know, and starting to see and acknowledge then, and then having that permission, because so often we're not giving ourselves that permission, mm-hmm. or the people that we love. We're at the hotel, so we're going, or we're in Mexico, we're all going to the beach, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, or whatever it is. And then half of your household feels deeply miserable because they've just been dragged around and they're fucking hot and they're exhausted and they're mad at you now, right? And like,
we just want to be by the pool.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think that it's beautiful because, again, society, I think the way we teach love, right, in society is becoming that person's everything or always mm-hmm. doing everything together. Right. We have these sort of romantic ideals that we're supposed to strive for. And I think the most romantic thing on earth is like, if y'all want to live in separate houses and just come together, you know what I mean? Like, yes. It's like literally live in separate houses, do what you need to do, acknowledge that you love one another and that you both get to be whole humans and that you deserve just as much as your partner deserves all the things that you want. I think so often I've had this experience of living with other people. I prefer to live by myself. My partner and I have lived separate in the past because I'm like, I need downtime. Mm-hmm. I'm very active. And when I need to rest, I need to rest. I think human design allows for creativity in relationships as well. How can we can still be in love, but we don't have to live in the same house, or we can still be in love, but we can have other partners, or we can still be in love and I can go on vacation by myself without you, right? Or I can do this thing that matters to me. You know, I don't want to be at the football game every Saturday tailgating until 6 p.m. You know what I mean? Like, I have no interest in doing that. I don't want you to not have it.
Exactly. Right?
I want you to have the thing that you want. So go do it and just know that I'm at home watching Netflix, fucking vegging out or walking the dog. And it's great, right? I'm very happy doing what I'm doing. And I'm happy for you to have the things that make you feel happy too.
Oh my goodness. That just that right there made me think, knowing your human design and your partner's human design, or, you know, any partners or just people in your life, I feel like that just in this moment, epiphany, that feels like access to compersion. To like, I can experience joy for your joy without I don't have to be a part of it. I don't have to feel like envious and just like, and this one blows my mind, right? It's like FOMO, this fear of missing out on a thing I don't even want to do. We do that all the time. This feels like a piece of access to compersion.
I love that. I think you taught me that word. So I know what you're talking about. Yay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that genuinely is seeing, and I think that is genuinely love, right? Mm-hmm. When we love someone, we want them to be happy. Love doesn't mean you're trapped with me in the same house and I'm going to make you mow the lawn because, you know, or I'm going to make you do this and that, or I'm going to have whatever the constraints are, right? Anytime.
Don't make me match the socks in the sock basket. The sock basket is fine as right. It is.
Right. Love is not meant to be restricting, right? It's open and it's expansive. Yeah. I just think it's a really beautiful. Yeah. If you love, I agree wholeheartedly, right? If you have someone you can do something that you love with, and you can have that peace. Like, I don't want you to be deprived of that because you chose me.
That's beautiful. I wonder if there's in your all of your experience looking at people's charts and talking to people, is there anything in human design that might, where someone might be more inclined or more prone to non-monogamy?
Yes. Well, I think there's a number of things, because I think even it was funny looking at your chart. I think it was your, there's a couple of different things. Mm-hmm. In the human design, in your human design chart, everyone has like this unique sort of blueprint, and there are layers upon layers of like archetypal expressions. I think I might keep it simple for your audience, just because we could talk about things and then I'd have to explain them in depth, but let's say this one. So being open in your G center, which is like where your heart would be, it's under the throat chakra. The G center in human design, its archetypal theme, right, is this idea of love, identity, and belonging. Mm-hmm. And where we are open in our chart, which means it's not colored in, that is where we learn the most lessons. And so if you're open in your G center, sort of the question that you're asking yourself throughout your life is, where do I belong? With whom do I belong? What is love? Right? These are the questions. And what's cool then is, because you're open, if you're defined, you might have a specific, I always talk about this too, like you're someone who's defined might have the same group of friends for their whole life. They might have known since they were born they wanted to be an accountant, and they became an accountant and their life is complete and they have their accountant friends, and right, they do all of those things. But when you're open, it's really about experiencing the full spectrum of identity and love and belonging that you can, and you really take in. I think this is the other thing, right? When you're open in this space, you're taking in the humanity of the person in front of you. You become an expert at loving other people, I think, where you see that divine spark that exists within the human, right? You see the value in that person in front of you. In the G center in human design, this is also where developmentally, like, your soul incarnates and sort of sits in your body, right? So when you stand in front of someone, if you're open, you are here to receive the truth of that person, to experience it. And so I think that the open G is on a basic level, and it doesn't mean if you're defined in your G, like you might be less prone to non-monogamy. There are other aspects of the chart. Every person is built differently. And so I think it's important to have someone look at your chart and to see, like, but I think that's the one. And I'm also open in my G too, so I understand this on a deep, deep level, right? Just that unconditional acceptance, that unconditional love that exists, and the appreciation and honor for who that other person is in front of you. And knowing that, like, they get to be who they are, right? Like, yeah, it's my favorite center personally, because I think it allows for so much permission. And it really supports non-monogamy, differing, you know, gender identities, fluidity in loving and relationships and identity. Folks who are open, they're here to experience the full spectrum.
I love that so much. The thing that came to mind for me while you were talking was, I wonder how many people, you know, we go through life with this story that of how life is supposed to look, how love is supposed to look. We have a lot of, you know, the Disney love stories and, you know, soap operas.
Even the grandparents' love stories, right?
Yes,
the parents' love stories.
We are imprinted with an idea of what our life is going to look like when we find the one and fall in love, and, you know, what is going to happen. And I wonder how many people go through life feeling like, what's the word I'm looking for? So you're talking about people with an open G center are here to experience you know, yeah. all of the things, how to experience what love is and kind of, and to find what all of that means for them. I imagine that, and this is how I felt a lot, was, am I ever going to find the thing? Am I ever going to find the answer, you know, the solution, the right way of being, the right way of loving, the right, you know, all the shoulds. Yeah. And this is one of those things where I went, oh, actually, no, like this is my truest self being consistently on a journey of discovering more and more, of learning more and more, of meeting more people and finding who they are and finding the things that I can love about them. And that it's the journey.
Yeah. Just hearing you talk about that, right? That it's so beautiful. And how many people, and not, it brought tears to my, okay. How many people though, you're so right, are, they just did what they thought they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And they aren't even aware that there could be a different option. And then thinking about the richness of the life that you live, right? Mm-hmm. And how could you ever even communicate that to someone who is like, nope, I chose this person when we were 24 years old. And guess what? We're going to die together.
Yep,
right? Like we're stuck. We're miserable. I'm just going to wait for him to die. And then, you know, I'll take a Thursday evening lover or something. I don't know. Like, you know,
I want a Thursday evening lover.
Right.
And a Tuesday evening lover.
Yeah. Right. But like, but even thinking about the richness of that, right? That's what you were born to do. And when we deny those pieces of ourselves because we're told it's not the socially acceptable way, it's not the way everyone else does it.
Yeah, people are told you're wrong. There's something broken in you. You have an issue with commitment. You're scared of commitment. Therefore, there's something wrong with you that you need to fix. But what if there's not? What if this is just who you are and that's okay? There's no value judgment on it.
Yeah. And we don't say that kind of shit to people who have like 16 different marriages, or they never get married and they just have a different girlfriend, you know, every month, a different model. We look at celebrities, right? If we look at male celebrities who never get married and they're just out there hanging out with their wang out and nobody even thinks a damn thing about it, right? As long as you're with the one person, that's fine, because we determine that's fine.
I love asking people to define monogamy, because so often they're like, well, it means you have sex with one person. And I'm like, well, is that one person in your lifetime? One person a day? One person at a time? One, you know, let's get a little clearer on that.
Right. Yeah. What does it mean? And why does it mean that? I think is the other thing. What is the purpose of the value systems that you see purported in societies? Who's it serving, right? I personally don't think it serves those of us who identify as women very well, right? Having been property, having, it doesn't serve us. And the stats show women who are married, like it does good for the husbands.
Yeah.
Right. They live longer when they're married to someone, but yeah, who is it serving? Mm-hmm. And I think even, you know, for me, giving my clients permission to even ask, does this serve me? I've been doing this my whole life, whether it's love, relationships, parenting, business, it doesn't even matter. Like, is that belief serving me? Is it bringing me joy, happiness? That's the other thing with human design, right? When you're in alignment, there's that feeling of satisfaction, that success, that peace, that joy, the clarity that comes from that. If you're doing something because you think you need to do it, no matter what it is, and it's not bringing you joy or turning you on or helping you make more money or feel more peaceful or clear or connected, it's not the thing. And just even having that invitation into, does this belief serve me? Is it making me happy? And can I make a different choice? What's another choice I could make that would feel better?
Don't shit on yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
I love this. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I'm also curious if if human design has any, and I don't know if I've ever actually asked you this. So this is, I'm very curious. Does human design have anything in it or any impact on sex specifically?
Yes.
Oh.
So it's interesting. This is what, there's an, again, a number of things that we could talk about with sex and relationships. There are different tantric channels. There are, for example, the sacral center is a defining center. It's the center above the root center. And we'll have to put something for people to probably find their charts so they can look and see. But it's interesting. So the sacral center is a really defining center. If you have that center colored in, it makes you a generator or a manifesting generator. If it's open, that would make you a projector, a manifester, or a reflector, depending on other factors. So what's interesting about the sacral center, though, is that this is a center of sexuality. So, and again, everyone's chart is very different. So looking and seeing what gates are defined there, looking to see what channels you have. The solar plexus can also be one, right? Because that's going to be where a lot of passion lives. And so it depends on, right? Are you someone who, some folks are built for intimacy and closeness. Some folks might be prone to like truly finding that one person, having the family with them, right? There's like a gate for that, or a channel, excuse me. So it really depends on what you have defined. And what I'll say is really interesting is just like something to consider. Oftentimes what I have heard in like Ra's trainings is that the generator types, because they're defined, they tend to be the leaders, or they tend to really define the sexual relationship of the couple,
mm-hmm.
where they know, for example, when they are satisfied. That's the signature of, right? Of
a generator.
Right? And so they tend to be, if you're in a relationship, folks who are projectors or manifestors or reflectors, they might be folks who like, they're ready to go 38 times a day. Like they'll go as many times as you need to, because they are less likely to know when enough is enough.
Mm.
And this is going to be, it's sex. It could be eating, it's pleasure, right? Yeah. Sex. It could be workaholism, right? They're going to overdo it in a lot of the areas. This is not a prescription or anything, but I think the sacral center holds a lot of information when it comes to couples and relationships and seeing. And sometimes the people, here's what I'll say. Sometimes the person who has more of the desire, again, feels like the other person should maybe bend to their will.
Uh-huh. Yes. I hear that a lot.
Or you need to rise up to meet me. And it's, again, from a human design perspective, if that person is a no, like they're a no. So there's a lot of consent things that go on, but there's also understanding, how do you let the other person be? If their drive is less, that doesn't mean they're a bad person or they can't love you. And that doesn't mean, but it's, I think it's fun to always look and see like, what are the gates? What are the channels? Who, if I were in a relationship or not in a relationship, but talking with folks in a relationship, right? Who's steering the ship on that? And to see, is there a mechanical breakdown somewhere? And can we find, again, that self-acceptance, that self-love? Can we show up in integrity and allow the other person to be who they are?
Yeah. Again, coming back to acceptance. Totally. Mm-hmm. I imagine that, you know, because so many people, I mean, that is one of the biggest places of friction in relationships is sexual desire, libido, you know, sex drive, and, you know, somebody wants more, somebody wants less. And there is this thing where, you know, even if one partner isn't making the other wrong, often one of them is making themselves wrong. Like, I should want more, or I should want less.
Something's wrong with me. I'm broken.
Yeah.
On either side of it.
Yeah. And so having that awareness, like, actually, this is how you're built. Yeah. And having someone say to you, this is how you're built. There's nothing wrong with you. This is who you are, creates such a container for finding different ways to solve the problem together rather than being like against each other. Like you're the problem. No, you're the problem. Well, no, there's a thing that we need to work together as a team to solve. And we can take this like accusation piece out of it altogether.
Yeah. And it's just like the football example that I keep coming back to, right? If I don't want to have sex and you want to have sex 100 times a day, like who am I to stop you? And you know what I mean? Like if that really, can we be creative about it instead of saying, no, I'm going to hold you and you're going to feel like you're going to die, or I'm going to feel pestered and pulled upon and extracted from, right? Like I want you to have what you want. And if I'm in the mood once a week or twice a week and you're in the mood 40 times a week, like, cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if 40 is, but you know what I mean? Like
for someone
back to that Thursday evening lover piece. Like if you need that, like, I want you to have that because it's not that I don't need that, but I don't need it on the level that you do. Uh-huh. Right. And I don't want you to starve in that way. Right. And wither away and die, because I think that is such a huge part of our vitality as well.
Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to hear or know about?
Well, that's big. About human design or?
Yeah, anything.
About human design. Anything else to know? Okay. This is my soapbox on human design.
Perfect.
Human design is not something for you to engage on the mental level. It is not something to so many folks. If I had a dollar, this is what I'll say, if I had a dollar for every damn time someone's like, well, I read about my human design, so I'm fine. But then they would turn around and be like, well, I'm a projector, so I can only work 2 hours a day. Okay. Is that serving you? Like, our minds will do this thing where we contort things, right? And human design, more than anything, is meant to be lived through our bodies. It's meant to be experimented with. It's not a gospel. It's not a dogma. It's not a prescription for how you live your life. And every human being is different, right? So while we can talk generally about different types in human design, you could be night and day different from someone else that you share a type with. You could, depending on your energetic makeup. So my invitation is, you know, if it's something that you're interested in learning more, definitely consult with someone to get the individualized support and the individualized understanding of how you work, because 99% of what you can read or engage on a mental level is not going to serve you. That's my soapbox.
I love that. It's perfect. If somebody wanted to work with you, how would they do that?
Couple ways. So I do, the way that we work together was like the HD and me subscription. Mm-hmm. I offer sort of two levels. I have stuff that's built for the individual that's not necessarily related to business, and then stuff that is wholeheartedly business. So for individuals, that could look like a 90-minute discovery session with me, or that could look like one session per month over 6 or 12 months. What I love about that, the subscription package, is that again, so much subtlety sinks in over time.
Yeah.
Right. We do one session and you might be like, I'm a generator, so this, or I'm a this, and my husband's this, and la, 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 and just regurgitating stuff. But when we have the time, right.
Yeah.
That subtle awareness of who you truly are sinks in over time. And then if you are really looking to engage and develop mastery of your design in your life, I also offer a group course called Embody Academy. It's my signature course. And over the course of 16 weeks, we look at the what I would call the critical components, not unlike what we would do in the subscription, but it's a group experience, and we look at a lot of other aspects. So we look at human design, and then I teach a lot of deconditioning tools and not self pieces and embodiment tools that help you to really move these, the awareness into your body. So Embody Academy will start in August. So I've got that coming up. HD and me and discovery sessions are for the most part on an ongoing basis. So anybody could go to my website and book that today.
And what's your website?
www.amberkeys.com.
Perfect. I'll put it all in the show notes, but some people don't look.
Yeah. /services, or you just go to work with me and it would show. So yeah, I love the work that I do. It brings me so much joy to help people just accept themselves a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. It shows through. You're very passionate about it. And I just absolutely adored working with you. I did the 6 months, and I hope other people do too. And I've loved talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes. Thank you for having me. It's been so fun.
Absolutely. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me personally and would help us keep this little podcast going if you would subscribe, leave a review, or share this episode with your friends. For more personalized support with your own relationships, we can work together on a one-to-one basis. Just visit my website at aliciapayne.com and schedule a free call to chat about life, the universe, and your relationships. Bye.